Chapter 45. Vanity. I stand at the flap of Chadan's pavilion, watching with pride as our brothers polish weapons and paint sight wards around their eyes as they prepare for muster. My prince was right about Tika and women's work. In the past weeks, every warrior in the prince's unit has gotten patches and a painted shield emblazoned with the spear and olive. We have banners now, stamps to mark equipment, and new pavilion canvas. Some of the Chi Sharum even got tattoos, though permanently marking flesh with ink is forbidden in the Avija. Our warriors strut like court dandies, proudly displaying their new gear. Older Sharum shake their heads and snigger, but every one of them wishes for a fraction of the glory we claim each night. These last weeks have been some of the happiest of my life, whether fighting Alagai in the maze or sharing kisses in the cool comfort of Chadan's pavilion. I've been able to forget the world I left behind and just live in the now. What do you think? I turn at the sound of Chadan's voice, sucking a breath at the sight of him. The cost of equipping all the Sharum with steel is prohibitive, so apart from the mind-warded steel helms they wear beneath their turbans, our men are armoured simply in tough-layered robes with pockets for armour plates to cover their most vulnerable areas. The plates are simple fired clay that shatters on impact, distributing the force of a blow. Cheap, light, and easy to replace, they allow warriors to stay fast and mobile with some measure of protection. But Chadan is the Prince of Marja. And on his raising to the Vale, his father commissioned a suit worthy of the Damaji's grandson. For weeks, he's been attending fittings with the women of the famed Tazan clan, the most sought-after armourers in Desert Spear. Their secret techniques are passed from mother to daughter, and for each son, the mother crafts a suit of armour, protecting him with the work of her own loving hand in the night. Their men make up one of the fiercest units in the maze, all but invulnerable in their Tazan steel. My prince is clad in a suit of black steel scales with golden wardwork around each plate. He spreads his arms and tries to take a step my way, only to be yanked back by a pair of Tazan armourers attempting to complete his final fitting. Rashida, Jiwa Ka of the Tazan clan, covers her face in our presence, but I can tell from the lines around her eyes that she is older than Grandmum. Her calloused hands are thick and strong from countless hours at the anvil. Hold still. The Tazan matriarch does not speak to Jadan as a prince. Her tone is sharp as any impatient Tika's, and Chadan responds immediately, standing up straight and becoming motionless as a statue as the women complete their work. Rashida places a snug helm on Chadan's head, with intricate wardwork in golden filigree for protection and ward sight. Is it heavy? I ask. The wooden breastplates Selen stole were light, but steel. It's actually not bad. Chadan flexes his arm, and I'm amazed at how the scales ripple with the movement, giving him impressive range and fluidity. It looks like, I glance at the armourer. Demon scales, the woman agrees. My great-grandmother invented the Alagai scale technique to turn Ni's own dark machinations against her. The women of my family have preserved and guarded it ever since. Each scale is individually warded, overlapping protection even if scales are damaged or lost. They allow ease of movement and distribute force to absorb impacts. She tightens a last strap and steps back. Chadan begins a series of sharukin, flowing through the poses with little restriction. When the wards are charged, the metal will store power for them to focus, the armourer says. You will be stronger in the suit than out of it. Chidan looks at me and winks. Perhaps even as strong as you. As if you need it, my prince, I say. You beat me even without that advantage. You weren't exactly at your best that night, Chidan says. You've come a long way since then. The words are true, but I've seen the Maja prince fight. If we faced each other again today, I have little doubt the outcome would be the same. All that's left is your sigil. Rashida holds up a box of polished goldwood. Expensive in the north and priceless here. She opens it to reveal a large pin of polished brass, depicting the spear of Maja. The symbol is already emblazoned on his shield, cloak, and helm. But the sigil one wears over one's heart has special meaning. Thank you, Chidan bows respectfully, but I have my own. He reaches into his belt and produces another brass pin, nearly identical to the one Rashida holds, save for the olive it pierces. I feel my chest tighten, a mix of pride and love, but also a tinge of worry. Tsst! Rashida confirms my fear. A lesser Sharum might abandon his house sigil for the greater glory of his unit. But you are Chidan, son of Merok, prince of Maja. You must carry your house's honor in the maze. And so I do. Chidan taps the Maja spear on his shield with a steel-scaled toe. But if I seek the white turban, I must earn glory beyond family. Tsst, Rashida says again. Nothing is beyond family, young prince. Indeed, Chidan agrees. And I am Ajinpal, bound with blood to all my spear brothers. I carry their honor as well. Rashida does not protest further, but I can sense her unease. Normally the armorer would secure the sigil in place, but she makes no effort to assist Chidan. I step close, touching his arm. Perhaps she's right? No, Chidan says. Keeping distance from the Sharum, that they might more dispassionately spend their lives in the Dharma way. I am Sharum, one with my brothers. He says brothers, but it's my eyes he looks into. And the truth is unspoken between us, overwhelming my uneasiness. Chidan turns to Rashida, his bow deep and long, showing great respect. Thank you, Tika. Know that when I fight tonight, and every night to come, I will add to the already boundless Tazan honor. He punches a fist to his chest, a warrior's gesture that sends a ripple through the scales. Rashida seems mollified at that. Of that I have no doubt, young prince. They leave soon after, and Chidan hands me the sigil. Will you help me? It is difficult to affix while I am wearing it. I smile at the obvious lie. He wants me to do it. And I want it as well. I lay a gentle hand over his heart as I secure the spear and olive. He lays his own hand over mine, and as I look up, our lips meet. I love you, I whisper. I didn't know it myself until I spoke the words, but now I feel the truth of it in my bones. Chidan stiffens at the words, and my heart stops until he wraps his arms around me, holding me tight. For a moment, I luxuriate in the embrace, but then I feel him shake ever so slightly. I feel wetness on my shoulder and realize he is weeping. Serene, unflappable Chidan, who controls his emotions better than anyone I have ever known. What is it? I don't let go, but I pull my head back enough to look at him. We live on borrowed time. He looks up and his eyes are wet, making it even more real. I shake my head. With Alagai scale armor and my spear at your back, you will be invincible in the maze. If you die on Alagai talons, it will be at a time of your choosing, not knees. Chadan shakes his head. I am not talking about the maze. I reach out a gentle hand, feeling the cool wetness on his cheek. Then what? This. Chadan pulls me tighter. Us. My grandfather will not allow it forever. We must make the most of every moment. Why? I ask. Many warriors are pillow friends. There is no dishonor in it. They are not the Damaji's heir, Chadan says. I have many sisters, but no brothers. My family fears I will fail to father sons if I am devoted to you. And they are not wrong. I'm not interested in women enough to do that. But then it hits me. The reason I am here. I can shed blood for the Maja in the maze, but also secure their line. For the first time in my life, I feel a sense of Inevera. You don't have to be. I take his hands, and the words come out of me in a rush. I can have children. Chadan shakes his head. It is not enough. They must bear my blood. He doesn't understand. There is still time to keep my secret, but I realize I don't want it anymore. Perhaps I never did. Again, Belina's words of prophecy echo in my mind. The storms will end when the heir of Hollow joins blood with the Maja and the princes stand in the eye. I squeeze his hand again. There's a reason I was raised a woman. It is because I am one. Impossible. Chadan looks at me incredulously. The Dharma Ting saw your Everam's beard in the sweat room. Even I have seen. I nod. But none of you looked closer. Chadan cocks his head curiously. Closer? I have a woman's parts as well as a man's, I tell him. How is that possible? Chadan does not argue, but I see the confusion on his face. I have earned his trust, but this taxes even the bond between us. I was meant to be twins, I tell him, but some trick of mother's magic joined us. He stares at me a moment, brows in a tight furrow, as he struggles to process the concept. I am excited and terrified in equal measure, but he has not pulled his hands from mine. So I hold my breath, giving him time. You are saying you can bear children? Chadan asks at last. Mother believes so, I tell him, and she is the most famed gatherer in Theza. Chadan pulls away at last, but it is only to gesticulate in a most un-Chadan fashion. This changes everything. This... He stops suddenly, sitting on a bone bench. Deflated. What is it? I ask. You're offering everything I want, Chadan says. Anyone who has read a djinn tale knows such dreams come at a price, if they come at all. I put a hand on his shoulder. I am no djinn, my prince. I am flesh and blood, like you. There is no hidden price. Chadan lays his hand over mine, squeezing, even as he sighs. I may not be the one to pay it. My people came back to Desert Spear to return to the old ways. Women are not allowed to take up the spear or fight in the maze. That stops me. What of the Sharum Ting? Most were stripped of arms and returned to their families, Chadan says, The best were kept by the Dharmating as bodyguards and harem sentries. When age forces them to lay down their spears, there will be no more. I purse my lips. I've seen Mika and Selen fight. The very idea that women be forced to disarm offends me. The idea that I might be forced to disarm. I am not just a woman, I say. I am a man as well. I won't give up my spear. Chadan nods. I would not want you to. But I don't know if Grandfather can accept you as both. I'm still trying to understand it fully myself. We don't need to tell him now, I say. If we are on borrowed time, let us borrow as much as we can to prepare. We're young still. Ever arm willing, let it be so, Chadan says. But will there be a later? Are you not still honor-bound to escape? The words remind me of Mika, held against her will in the very harem I would refuse for myself. I wonder if Chadan would flee north with us, but I have already lain so much on his shoulders, and in my heart I know he will not desert his people in their time of need. My hesitation says everything, and Chadan takes a step back, nodding as the customary detachment returns to his demeanor. Death stalks the maze! Chadan is majestic in his new armor as he paces before the assembled men, and they stare at him with a respect bordering on awe. I feel it too. Close your eyes and imagine it, Chadan shouts. The alagai that gets past your guard, its teeth sinking into your soft throat. Claws piercing organs and talons rending flesh from your bones. Imagine your death and embrace it. The men close their eyes as bade, and I stand at their backs, giving them time to visualize an honorable death. Then I take a step forward and shout, We are the Sharum of Desert Spear. What is our fate? To spend our lives on alagai talons, the men thunder in reply, a mantra that has led Sharum into battle for 3,000 years. Chadan and I have given this speech every night since we were raised to the Vale. The drill masters taught us one version, but it is the task of every unit leader to make it their own. My prince paces in front of the men, and I walk among them as we honour those martyred before us and prepare our spirits for the inevitability of our own deaths. Ni is not like the enemies of the day, Chadan calls. She does not fight for land or resources. She does not come to steal our wells or our wives. What does she come for? I am closer to him as I shout, inspecting the men as I approach Chadan at the head of the assembly. She comes to exterminate us! He booms his reply for all to hear. She comes to undo creation and return us to the void. Ni cannot be reasoned with. I clatter my spear against my shield, and the sound echoes through the training grounds as 100 brothers follow my lead. Ni cannot be placated or satiated, Chadan shouts, and twice more I lead a clash of spears. Ni can only be fought. This time I raise my spear into the air and roar, echoed by 200 of my brothers, a sound that reaches all the way to the heavens. Chadan raises his spear to match us. I will spend my life on alagai talons, but I will not spend it cheaply. Prince Chadan's a miser, I shout. Should we help him haggle? Haggle! The men clash their spears again. Haggle! Haggle! Then they roar with laughter, though they've surely heard that joke every night for 2 moons. Waning approaches, and the alagai are restless in the maze. Even without a mind to guide them, They move with more intelligence than we've come to expect, avoiding traps and ignoring betas, leaving teams of Sharum hiding uselessly in ambush pockets while the Alagai strike elsewhere. But even the clever demons are unprepared for the prince's unit. Chadan fights with a new, aggressive confidence, wading into the thickest battles, all but invulnerable in his new armor as he hacks and impales any demon that comes within reach. Soon, the Alagai part around him in search of other prey. They find me, instead. I might not have new Alagai-scale armor, but this past month has honed my strength and my skill to new sharpness. I feel more powerful than ever, even before my spear tastes ichor, sending an invigorating shock of magic up my arms. Like they did in the food line, the men compete for a taste of the demon magic, rushing to attack the Alagai that slip around me. And to finish off demons Chadan and I leave injured in our wake, lest their preternatural healing put them back in the fight. Our brothers are all bigger and stronger than they were 2 months ago. Many in our unit should be summers away from full growth, but the magic has aged them beyond their years. We studied the phenomenon at Gatherers University, how feedback magic makes a body trend towards its physical prime. But it's one thing to read about it, and another to feel it in my own body. I feel a sudden empathy for Elakutta, for the lust she felt as she tore demons apart with her teeth. My brothers are ferocious, and word has spread of our exploits. Warriors respect us now, in and out of the maze. Even units loyal to the Sharum Kar are forced to resentfully give us our due, for none can deny our glory is boundless. The men are singing as we return to the training grounds just before dawn, Chadan and I loudest of all. All of us are covered in demon ichor and still pent with excess magic. Not a man lost, not so much as injured in our unit. Tomorrow is waning, and we will go to our families with pride. But Chadan's family is already waiting. His father, Marok, stands in our pavilion, pulling the two of us up short. The joy I felt a moment ago vanishes, crushed by sudden anxiety. Father, Chadan's mirth has disappeared as well. He is cool as he dips into a bow. I did not expect you. Indeed. Marok is a tall man, powerfully built, with a prominent forehead and thick brows leading into a blunt nose hanging over a beard just beginning to grey at the roots. He moves with grace for one so big, but that is to be expected in a Sharusark grandmaster. Marok instructs Chadan personally, and to hear my prince tell it, he is not yet close to a match for his father. We stood our ground against the Alagai not long before, but Chadan and I both shrink back as Dharma Marok comes to loom over us. So it is true. He flicks a finger against the sigil over Chadan's heart. You have turned your back on your own family for... His eyes flick to me with disgust. Your men. It was my idea, I blurt. I was the one... No. Chadan holds up a hand, and I trail off in surprise. It was my decision, and I will not forsake it. You will, Marok growls. The Damaji has summoned you. Chadan does not argue, dropping his gaze and heading for the tent flap at a gesture from his father. Marok turns to me. You have been summoned as well, half-blood. The Damaji wishes you to see and hear the price of your insolence. Vain, stupid boy. Eleveran growls from on high as Chadan kneels with his hands on the floor before the dais of the Skull Throne. It's a closed court, just members of the royal family and their personal guards, along with Damaji Ting Chavis and her loyalists. Iravan is conspicuously absent, but Belina stands a step behind Jarvis, her eyes inscrutable. I worry that standing next to Jadan on his knees will make matters worse. But I will not kneel before my kidnappers, even now. For the moment, no one comments on my continued defiance. All eyes are on Jadan.
The spear of Marja has been our family seal for thousands of years,
Eleverin says.
And you replace it with this perversion.
I can hear the grind of my own teeth at the words. I glance up at Eleverin, measuring the distance between us, and picture myself bounding up seven steps to the top of the dais and putting out the Damaji's teeth. Eleverin is a famed Sharusark grandmaster, but he is old. I force myself to breathe, long and even. Even I am not that stupid. Grandfather, every unit has... Jadan begins, but the Damaji smacks the throne, cutting him short.
Do not make excuses, boy. You are not here to plead your case. You are here to listen. Waning is almost upon us, and the seers foretell a dark one. You should be focused on the maze, not prideful preening as you flaunt your pushting relationship with Prince Olive.
My nostrils flare as I draw another deep breath. Jadan glances at me, pleading with fearful eyes for me to keep silent. He's right. Now is not the time. I chew my lips to keep them closed.
The relationship ends now,
Eleverin growls.
Stand.
Jadan gets to his feet, and Marok tears the spear and olive from his chest, dropping it to the floor and stomping on it. Then he strips the Alagai scale suit from his son as Jadan stands there limply, face a mask of shame. Marok carries the armor to the foot of his father's throne, laying it at the base of the seven steps.
You will have your armor back tonight, Eleverin says, when the armorers have melted down your ridiculous emblem and permanently affixed a proper crest.
Anger flares hot in my breast, and I ball a fist as Eleverin turns his attention to me.
Still insolent.
The Damaji raises a finger.
Belina.
Belina's eyes betray her irritation, but she does not hesitate, producing the small replica of my arm cuff and squeezing. I bite my lip, but the pain is so intense it does little to stifle my scream as I collapse, clutching my arm. Olive! Jadan rushes toward me, but he is intercepted by a pair of guards. At least, they try to intercept him. Jadan catches the first by his wrist and the front of his robe, pivoting to turn the force of the warrior's charge into a throw that sends him sailing through the air. Jadan does not pause, slipping under the reach of the second warrior and catching his arm. He seems only to tap the man's elbow, but everyone in the room hears the sound of his arm breaking. Then he is holding me in his arms, pulling helplessly at the cuff. When he sees it is futile, he turns to his grandfather. Stop this, please. Eleverin's expression does not change, but he lowers his finger, and Belina releases the cuff. I gasp a breath, looking down to see the flesh of my throbbing arm turning an ugly purple around the armlet.
Have we not kept our bargain?
Eleverin asks.
Your sister is safe, and you have been given power and privilege beyond anything in your homeland. Yet still, you seek to defy us.
Pain lances through my entire body, but I struggle to my feet. How have I defied you, Damaji? I ask as respectfully as I can manage. By fighting in the maze each night to defend your city? By wearing a variation of your own sigil, though you remain my jailers? By showing affection and loyalty to your grandson?
You may dress as a man, son of Arman, but you have a woman's wiles about you still, and I will not see you corrupt my grandson with them.
He turns back to Jadan.
I've given you too much liberty and too little responsibility. Effective immediately, you will move into the Marja Palace. There are barracks in the outer walls for your warriors, drill masters, and,
he looks pointedly at me,
subordinate Kai.
Desert Spear is full of empty palaces, but to be given one entirely is a huge boon. In the eyes of the warriors and citizens, Prince Chadan has been paid a great honor for his glory. But I see it for what it is. A reminder to him, to the men, and to me most of all, that Chadan is above us, that we are not his family, as he proclaimed last night. He will live alone in the palace, with an army of servants and not a single confidant, while the rest of us reside in the walls like rodents. More, we will be under the Damaji's eye, for doubtless the palace is already stocked with family staff loyal not to the prince, but to Eleveron. Every coming and going between the palace and the barracks will be noted and reported. My stomach ties itself into knots. Will Chadan and I ever be alone again? Am I losing him? The Damaji's next words are answer enough.
I've arranged a suitable Jiwa Ka for you. You will be wed as soon as the arrangements can be made.
Chadan swallows. Who?
His grandfather dismisses the question with a flick of his fingers. It does not matter. She is suitable.
Chadan stares at the floor. Yes, grandfather. I wish he'd press the question, though I do not know the point. No bride will please a pushting. I think how I could as easily have been that bride, and I want to scream. A runner comes to whisper in the Damaji's ear, and we are dismissed. I should be livid as we walk from the throne room, but I feel broken, perhaps even more than my last visit, when Iravan had to carry me from my whipping. The doors close behind us, and for a moment, walking down the hall, Chadan and I are alone. Perhaps for the last time. For his part, Chadan seems equally shattered. Usually his walk is a powerful stride toward a chosen location, but he seems to drift aimlessly. I know we may not be able to speak in confidence again for some time, but I find I have nothing to say to my prince, and looking at him causes only pain. I turn down the hall to the gardens. Olive?
Even Chadan's voice is weak.
Where are you going?
To see my sister. I don't turn. I can't bear to look at him for fear my resolve will break and I will start weeping here in the hall.
It was foolish of me to wear our symbol on my armor, Chadan says. Rashida warned me.
You warned me.
But I was so...
It's not your fault. I turn at last.
I was glad you did. Immediately, tears well in my eyes, and a tiny sob escapes my lips. If we were alone, he would have gone to me, taken me in his arms, soothed the tears away. But the guards outside the throne room can still see us, even if we are out of earshot. Chadan stands frozen, and though I know it would only make things worse, I cannot help but hate his cowardice. It was always borrowed time, Olive. I nod and begin to turn away once more. Mika, at least, might still hold me, though I have treated her horribly. But before I can go, a commotion in the hall draws our attention. I look up to see a group of Arms of Everarm hauling Selen Cutter and Darren Bales, hands bound, to the throne room.